what made reggae happen was that a lot of new people came into the music. Ska and then Rocksteady. Rocksteady was quite brief, but has been quite influential on subsequent developments in Jamaican music. But in itself, it only lasted a couple of years. And it represented really the last fling of producers like Coxon and Duke Reid. By this time, even Buster was more or less out of it in any meaningful way in Jamaican music. Plus, you had new guys coming in, like Bunny Lee Perry, Clancy Eccles, guys who had paid their dues one way or another with the bigger guys like Coxon and Reid, and had their own ideas, yeah, but no money. They were ghetto-based guys, unlike Coxon and Duke Reid, are both more or less middle class in Jamaican terms, and King Edwards as well, the other big sound man of the ska days, you know. Bunny Lee was a guy who had no studio. He couldn't afford the top-rated musicians, so he goes down to Greenwich Farm and digs out some youth called the Hippie Boys, you know, and gets them to record some songs for him, you know, Family Man and Carly. And then he says to his friend Lee Perry, hey, I've got some good musicians here, you know, you can use them, you know, or you can even use the rhythms I'll make with them for your own productions as well, you know, use the rhythm tracks. And this is happening at the same time as I've got an engineer called Linford Anderson, Popper Top they call him. He was working at West Indies Records in the Byron Lee studio, and he was similarly, you know, he was an engineer who recorded and mixed.
Was that one of the first dub records?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that was a dub, really. I would say that's a precursor of dub, but that's a definite attempt to use a studio, you know, and to use elements that later became commonplace in dub. But more important than that is that guy, Anderson, started to tell musicians to play fast rhythms, you know, play a lot faster.
And get drum and bass.
Yeah, and get the drum and bass and get that chugging organ sound, you know, and that, I think he's one of the first people to produce a reggae record. Like,
what year are we talking about now?
We're talking about 68, early 68. The same year, Larry Marshall makes a record at Coxon called Nanny Goat, and Coxon doesn't even like it so much that he doesn't want to put it out. So Larry Marshall puts it out on dub, because Larry Marshall was cutting a lot of dub at Coxon. He was like one of the people who worked in Coxon's studio, you know, and really produced the music for Coxon, you know, like Leroy Sibley's, like Jackie Mitsu, Roland Alfonso. He was one of the behind-the-scenes people for Coxon, Larry Marshall. It's him who coached Burning Spear out to sing in the studio. So, you know, those people were the people who brought reggae.